evening to all, and welcome tonight to our Sunday night service, and still Palm Sunday, so all the way from start till finish. And thank you for being here. We have some in house tonight, as we did last Sunday night, and of course we have you that are watching on Facebook, and so we're appreciative of that, and hope you enjoy our services this morning, and looking forward, I hope you enjoy our services tonight. And that's the only problem with trying to buzz around here and get things done up until service time. You get winded when it's time to open up and give announcements. And but anyway, it's been a good day to worship the Lord in His house. And we want to mention a couple things. We have at least one update from this morning's prayer request. That is, we had received a message this afternoon, not long ago actually. Miss Mary Ann Sandy, we've got about three or four Marys around here, but Miss Mary Ann Sandy, actually I believe it was her daughter that left me a voicemail, and I didn't have time yet to listen to it audibly, but the voicemail I have, it types it out. You can see it too. So I read just enough to see that it was confirmed that Brother Ed did have a stroke. And of course, that's not the news we were wanting to hear. And let's just pray for Brother Ed. Again, he's knocking on 89 years old, I believe it is. And you know, just pray that they have clarity on what to do during this time, Miss Mary Ann and all, but let's remember them in prayer. Continue to remember Randy Bailey. Again, that's Brother Snyder's brother-in-law and his sister Janet's husband. And I tell you, you just never know from one day to the next. And we're not going to say too much about his situation other than saying that he went in for, I believe it was a back surgery, and that's how they discovered that he had this type of cancer in his blood and also in the marrow. But let's remember him. Let's remember all those on our prayer list and all of our events that we've spaced out in the coming days. Of course, we're all looking forward to Easter Sunday morning in the parking lot, and so just really anxious to see what that's going to look like on the day of, but I know it's going to be good. And so remember that, 10:30 next Sunday morning, and of course this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock, if anybody wants to come and help set up, we shouldn't need too many people. We may have already all the people we need, so but anyway, let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to bless the Sandys, the Baileys, and everybody else on our prayer list, and all of our events that are coming up, and then we'll have a song or two. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you, we praise you for what you do. No doubt, Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. And our minds, so hard to wrap around how you do things and the instruments you use to do things. Lord, tonight it just boils down to one simple thing, and that is faith. It boils down to faith. Just shall live by faith. Habakkuk said that. And Lord, that's how he concluded his 3-chapter sermon, is that we're to just live by faith. He said, Habakkuk did, that he will rejoice in the God of his salvation in spite of everything else. And tonight, Lord, help us be quick learners of that. That, Lord, we can't change anything. Lord, we can only influence and do our very best, but then it's you that can change. You can change hearts and situations, but we trust you tonight. We pray for Brother Ed Sandy, Miss Mary Ann, that you'd be with them. Father, show them direction for this path they're on, and the possibilities for Brother Ed, his health. Again, we pray for Brother Bailey, Randy, and Miss Janet during this time, Lord. Be with them in a very, very powerful way. Give them a great sense of your peace, Lord, during this time. We love you, and we thank you once again. Be with us in our events that are coming up. Lord, give us fruit for our labor, and in turn, we will praise you for it. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Play for you just one, I think. Well, say it's my favorite hymn, my second favorite hymn. I love this song because I love the praise that it gives to our great Savior.
Moments tonight, and not sure how long we'll be. Anything could happen on any given service. I say that this past Wednesday night, I think I preached over an hour, right at it. And normally don't do that at all, but there are certainly times where I do preach an hour, but especially of all services on a Wednesday night. But anyway, we went kind of lengthy this morning, and so not really sure how long we're going to be tonight, but we do want to mention some things. And I do want to say one more time before we read our verses out of 2 Timothy 2. I want to wish Miss Lucille Turner a very happy birthday one more time. And so we love you. Hope you've been having a great birthday today. And so appreciate Miss Lucille. 2 Timothy tonight in chapter number 2. And, 2 Timothy 2. I actually want to begin reading in verse number 3 down to verse number 7. Before we read, many of you know that this is, of course, Paul. He is mentoring, he is instructing, writing to young Timothy and concerning the ministry. And someone said one time that the book of Timothy, the book of Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, could be the pastor's manual. There's a little hardback black book that was wrote a number of years ago. I don't want to say it's by author Ian Bounds, but close to his kind of writing, and it's called the pastor's manual. And so it has these two books, these three books, really, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And these were two young men who were in the ministry. So we have the seasoned veteran passing along some really pearls of wisdom. And so what we see in verse number 1 down to verse number 1 and 2, we have Paul, and he is instructing the young man to not rely on his own sufficiencies, not to rely upon the energy of the flesh, to serve the Lord. Look at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so immediately he tells him where he should and how he can find his strength. He says you got to be strong in God's grace, his energies and his strength. In essence, Paul is saying that your energy, your the strengths and all of those things that you may possess, eventually they'll fade, they'll wane, they'll wrap up, and they'll tell you that you can't rely upon your own abilities. Now, abilities are good and talents are good, but being human beings and being fallen in nature, they'll only get you so far. And then you'll come to an intersection in life where you know it's got to be God or it's not going to happen. And I actually call this the great awakening for a Christian. It's when you reach that place where you know that, God, if you don't show up, Lord, if you don't enable me to do what I need to do, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work out. And so Paul, he is telling these words unto Timothy, pearls of wisdom, really. And then in verse number 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so he says here, Timothy, the things that you learn, pass it on to others and to train them how to walk with the Lord and pass along to them these pearls of wisdom I'm giving to you. Everything that you learn is to be passed on, not kept up. And so is true for all of us tonight, those watching, that our life experiences are to be passed along, not kept up within ourselves. And many people, they go through some of the same things we go through. Everybody has their own stories. We know that. And somebody just might need to hear your side of it. And from time to time, we'll get to share our story with people. And we find out that it's a blessing to others. But verse number 3 down to verse number 7 is the verses I want to look at tonight, just for a few moments. And I want to preach to you for a few moments on this subject, the nature of our calling. The nature of our calling. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully?" Verse number 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." And look in verse number 7. We're going to stop here. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." That's reading verse number 3 down through verse number 7. Again, verse number 7, Paul says, "Consider what I'm saying." And so he starts out talking about God's grace and talking about this Christian walk that we're in, how we should rely upon the Lord and his grace. And then Paul mentions 3 occupations here. Well, what does that have to do with our life, the occupations that he mentions here? Well, he says, "Consider what I say." Consider especially these 3 occupations. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." So tonight, again, I want to talk to you about the subject of the nature of our calling. I believe these 3 occupations that Paul mentions, the actual subject matter of these 3 occupations deal with the very nature of our calling. And when I say the nature of our calling, the nature of the salvation that we received, and characteristics that we should understand, there's some things that are mirrored from these verses that are very, very symbolic to our lives. I want you to notice, number 1, in verse number 3 and 4, we see the occupation of a soldier. He says in verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And so the first one we see, the first occupation we see, is that of a soldier. A soldier. What does a soldier have to do with being on the Christian battlefield? What does it have to do with being a Christian, a follower of Jesus? Well, he tells us. He says that in verse number 4, he says, "No man that warreth," no soldier of the cross, no one that's in this battle after righteousness, "no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? Why aren't we to be involved equally in the world as we are within the church? Well, he tells us why. "That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Many times in life, I guess around the time we first begin to be a believer, we get saved, there may be a space of time where we feel like that we can still live in the world and shake hands with the world and be entertained with the world and still be a Christian 100%, live for the Lord and read his word and pray. We feel like maybe there could be a equality to the both. But really, when you grow in grace of the Lord and you start to experience some of the things Paul is talking about, he says you can't do that. There's a struggle there. He says there is a warfare there. And so he says, "No man that warreth," no soldier that's in this battle, "no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life," talking about this world system. He says that we are soldiers of the cross and we have to pick our battles and we have to choose our battles. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself." I can't help but think about the times that I've gone fishing, you know, and have that fishing pole, and especially the kind of fishing pole where you hold your thumb down on the top of the line, has the roll, the spool of line. I think it's called, a bait caster or something like that. But if you're not careful, when you cast out that line, you'll get what they call a bird's nest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It'll just, the whole line, it just comes unraveled, and it's and you try to straighten it out. I mean, there's knots all the way down to the core. And I'm thinking, how in the world is this possible? I just cast a line out 15, 20 foot. Well, there's an entanglement there. And in like manner, he says that if we're going to live for the Lord, if we're going to carry this torch, Timothy being a young man and trying to forge ahead as a good soldier of the Lord, Paul says that you are going to have to choose your battles. He says you're going to have to be in the right kind of war. He says this world and the kind of war it offers has no place in the Christian life. Verse number 3 again, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we see in verse number 3 that there's certainly hardness that comes along in the Christian journey. And Paul tells him to not lean on the flesh for energy, not lean on the flesh for provision and stability, but and don't go to the world and the world system for resources. Don't become, you know, discouraged in spirit and say, well, I'm just going to, you know, take a time out in the world. We know that won't work. We know that Abraham did that. He went back to Egypt for resources. And we know that nothing good came out of that experience. So number one, there's the occupation of the soldier. And it says that there's going to be times where we have to endure this walk. Struggles and battles maybe we don't want to face or deal with, but yet we must do that. He says that we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. So this is the very nature tonight of our calling, is that we're from another country. We are not soldiers in Afghanistan or soldiers, and thank God for our soldiers in Afghanistan. Thank God for our armed forces and all those who serve, but we're soldiers from another country. So we're to receive his orders and commands. So we see that of a soldier. And our nature, the nature of our calling is wrapped up in this occupation. Notice something else. Look in verse number 5. There's the athlete. The athlete. In verse number 5 he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Now here's another occupation where we see the actual nature of our calling in. It says masteries, and this is alluding to a gamer, alluding to an athlete. Those back in Bible days and, you know, days in Rome and Greece where they would pack out that amphitheater and they would have all of those early games. And he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, if you're going to compete, he says, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So we know in these early Greece games and there again in Rome and in other places, there were actual laws and rules in place in order to participate. Much like it is in our day with sports and all the sports world is concerned, baseball and football and all. There's certain rules you got to follow, especially if you want to win, especially if you want that crown or reward. Now, speaking about winning, that has nothing to do with will I make it to heaven or not. We know all those things are achieved at the cross, but he's talking about reward or loss of reward. And he says that the nature of our calling is wrapped up in this idea, this occupation of being an athlete. If we're going to live for the Lord, then we're going to have to be in the right kind of battles, and that is battling in his battle after righteousness and truth, not get wrapped up in the world system. We're going to have to strive lawfully in that manner. If we're going to be spiritually healthy, to make it to the very end of our race, whenever that is, we have to have a steady diet of God's word and prayer, fellowship, and all the rest of it. And so we have to strive lawfully. Strive lawfully. Now, I want to spend a little time on this last one, this third one. So there's the soldier, and then there's the athlete, and now there's the farmer. There's the farmer. Look in verse number 6. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. We have the husbandman. We have the farmer. And we know that his way of doing things is it fast. And we know that the harvest or the fruit or the crop doesn't come overnight. And so right off the very face value of this verse, the very surface of this verse, we see that patience is involved here. Being a husbandman, being one who farms and prepares the ground, who plants the seed, who prays for rain to cover the seed, moisturize the seed, and then for the crop to come up, and then to harvest the crop, and then to distribute the crop. There's a lot of steps in being a farmer. I've never been a farmer in my life, other than when we used to live in the parsonage at Floyd Road, beside Floyd Road Baptist Church. I planted one pepper one time in the backyard. I kept looking out the window. There was this bald spot. I don't know, about this size. And I said, man, that'd be a good place for a pepper. I'm so simple-minded thinking. And I planted that pepper, and we had one pepper on that pepper seed plant, whatever. So you know, I wouldn't want to be a farmer, you know, for my occupation. And one pepper on one plant, and we were happy, and that was it. There's so much patience involved in being a farmer. And then totally being reliant upon the Lord for rain. Think about all these farmers, these other states. Think about California and all they have to offer, and all the produce that we're beneficiaries off of someone else's work. You know, a lot of patience. All those farmers out there in California, and I know a lot of them have their own irrigation systems, but there's just a certain element of that that only God can bless. And so I tend to think that farmers might be a little more closer to God than some people. But it says the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. What does that mean? Well, I like to look at it this way. He says that he must be first partaker of the fruits. How is a farmer, after he went through all that work and prepared the ground and planted the seed and prayed for rain and harvested and all, and just say, for instance, he goes to the farmer's market to sell what he has. And some people are passing by, and a family stops and says, what do you have? Well, you know, we have some green beans and, you know, corn, things like that. I think I might have some of those. How's it taste? Oh, I don't know. I just grew it. I don't know how the green beans taste. I don't know how the corn tastes. Well, I don't know if I want to buy the green beans or corn if you don't know how it tastes. Well, in like manner, as a believer, how are we going to share Jesus if we can't tell this world how good he is to the taste? He says that this farmer, he must be the first person to partake. And the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so as we stand back one more time and take a clear view, a wide lens glimpse at these verses, we see that these three occupations have embodied within them the very nature of our calling. We're to be witnesses to this lost and dying world. We're to share Jesus. And the only way that we can do that successfully is based upon our own experience that we have with him. And, you know, we have our own testimonies. You have your testimony. You have your grace encounter, your grace experience. You've tasted the heavenly gift. You know how it tastes. And so, therefore, we are to share that same experience with others. Just like that farmer. Well, I don't know how it tastes. I guess it tastes good. But you know, tonight there's a lot of people who claim they know Jesus and cannot tell you how he really tastes. And that's a sad, sad commentary. And so verse number 7 says this: consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So we see that Paul is giving young Timothy this portrait, this picture of the Christian life. And he does it because it embodies a certain nature. The soldier in the war that he's in. The athlete in the training and the bounds he can't cross. And then the farmer in his faith and his endurance and his readiness to share the very fruit that he has. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you do. Lord, although this was brief in context, the word tonight is just simply this, that the nature of our calling, Father, is that of a soldier, where there's spiritual warfare. And Lord, help us understand as well that we need a steady dose, feeding of your word, Lord, if we're going to be able to be the athlete you want us to be. Lord, as we reflected upon the farmer and all of those steps that he goes through in order for there to be a crop that he can tell someone about, let us know, Lord, that faith is involved. Patience is involved. But Lord, help us unashamedly show that fruit to this lost and dying world and to tell them all that the Lord is good and he's mighty to save. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand tonight, and this is our time of invitation in-house. If you would like to pray about anything and everything, you can. Those watching as well. This right before we close out for the evening, and I know that some do this, some just have a natural just flow from within to do this, but if you're in a card ministry, or even those watching, you want to help encourage some of our folks, we've got a very lengthy prayer list, as you know. You'll be surprised how that will encourage someone. And more specifically, of course, everybody deserves a card, you know, going through difficult times, but Randy Bailey and Miss Janet would gladly receive some cards from really their church family, their members here. I'll probably the last one to find out about that, but nonetheless, if you feel led to do that, that would be appreciated to Randy and Janet Bailey, and of course the Palmers. Again, we start mentioning everybody, and it's just a lot of people. Whoever you feel led to do that to send a card, that'll be great. Phone calls work the same way. I was telling Christy earlier, I said, you know, it doesn't take much to encourage someone that really needs encouragement. You know, just a brief word, you know, a smile even encourages sometimes. But anyway, that was just something I wanted to mention.
Oh, Justin.
Yes.
Let me say this too, something that just came to my heart. If you do not currently get the bulletin, if you're not receiving that via email, please let Randy Maddox or Harold Dolph know. I know during these pandemic days we haven't we haven't been placing out a physical bulletin, but I do want to tell you personally that there are probably 2 or 3 hours a week that just go in just to preparing the bulletin. And again, the prayer list is growing in length each and every week, and we take time to pray over and call out each and every name and some that are not even on the prayer list. But yes, I want to echo that. If you are not currently getting a bulletin via email, please let Randy Maddox and Harold Dolph know. I believe Justin sends it over to Harold, and then actually Randy's the one who handles sending it out via email.
Or even Lee Ellen.
Or Lee Ellen.
Thank you for mentioning that.
And if you do not have
the
Brother Schneider's
contact information.
Yeah, if you don't have their
It's in the directory.
It's in the directory.
Good point.
If you, Christy, for some reason don't have a directory, if you'll just let Miss Lee Ellen or Miss Catherine know if you need to update a directory.
Thank you. See, this is right brain, left brain stuff, because I just threw it out there, send a card. Well, where's the address, you know, and all that information. And then left brain says it, you know. So we appreciate that. And seems like it was something else I was going to say on to that. But anyway, all right. Anything else to say and mention? Thank you guys for coming. And the Lord willing, we will be back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All right. You're dismissed.